This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. The Dance Box Festival is a mini festival stretching over 4 days, featuring 27 local dance groups in 4 different programs. The festival will feature a mix of revived choreographies and new works, as well as performances from the wider dance community in Malaysia. The event is on from April the 11th to 14th at the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre, and I have with me today the festival's producer, Bilkis Hijaz of My Dance Alliance, dancer Regina Toyad from the Federal Academy of Ballet, and University Malaya's Dance Department Head, Dr. Premalata Thiagarajan. Full house today. Thank you for joining me, guys.
Thank you for having us.
So the Dance Box Festival is stretching over 4 days, as I said earlier, and it actually has different themes or programs for each of those days. What can we expect on each different day?
Well, in Program A, it's called Classic Restages, and this is 7 different works that are somehow iconic in Malaysian dance history and are being restaged both to allow the audience to experience these works, which I think are all very important works, and also to allow dance students to really have to dig into their dance history and see what Malaysian dance history is all about. So both Regina's work that she's in for Federal Academy of Ballet and also the work from the University of Malaya are going to be in that Program A, Classic Restages. Program B is Dance Box Restages, so it's works from previous editions of Dance Box, which stretch now over 18 years. And Program C is dancers in the community. So it's wider dance context, people who are doing dance not in a quote-unquote professional manner, but very much part of our dance community. And Program D, which is a bit like a normal dance box, if any of our listeners have ever been to a normal dance box. So we throw a lot of different things on stage, but mostly new works by younger choreographers.
Mm. So there's this interesting combination of the old and the new. Why was that an approach that you decided to take? Because it's a relatively new format for dance box, isn't it?
Yes, usually dance box is just one day. So My Dance Alliance is doing this in partnership with the Actors Studio, and we've been doing this for 18 years. And basically what happens is the Actors Studio gives us 1 day for free in whatever venue they have. And then My Dance comes in and populates it with dance all day long. But this time, because Actors Studio is celebrating their 30th anniversary and My Dance and Dance Box is celebrating its 18th, we thought we would celebrate both birthdays together with a whole week and 4 days of performance and make it a much bigger event to acknowledge that.
Mm. And why the choice to do both restagings and new work?
Well, as it's an anniversary and we're looking back on what is quite a long history in Malaysian dance. I mean, 18 years is no small time. An 18-year-old kid, it's an adult now. We've given birth to an adult.
Oh, come on, don't remind me.
So, yeah, we thought it would be good to look back and to see what things have been achieved in the last 18 years, in the last 30 years in dance, and invite some of those people who were part of that development along the way to come back and get on stage again.
Which is, I think, a great time to get Regina and Dr. Prema into the conversation because both of you are actually involved with performances that are sort of reconstructions. They're not just restagings, but they're actually, it involved a fair amount of research and putting together of works that people haven't seen in a very long time. Could you tell us about what each of those works are to start off with?
Regina, you want to go first?
Well, for me, I will be dancing with the Kuala Lumpur Dance Theatre. So KLDT for short. They were actually established in 1984 by Lili Lan of the Federal Academy of Ballet. So KLDT was supposed to be the performing arm of the school. And she also wanted it to be a platform where she would get international choreographers and also local talents to kind of develop their skills, show off their choreography, and also dancers to kind of, you know, instead of just, okay, we're here in class and in the studio, that's about it. But this offered them a chance to kind of perform and engage with the community as well. For Dance Box Festival, we will be staging 4 seasons, choreographed by Lili Lan and set to the music of Vivaldi. And with this work, it actually first appeared in 1994. and restaged in 96 for Dance for AIDS. And now we decided to restage it again because of, the piece also, it's kind of a nice ballet item, and dance box usually you have a lot of contemporary dance and maybe a mix of traditional. So this one, it would be a nice mix to that.
And Dr. Prema, what about the work that the UM students are doing?
Okay, so as Regina mentioned just now, I'm not going to dance. I'm the artistic director of Kesuma. It's actually called Kumpulan Kesenian University of Malaya. So the students will be performing 1970s National Cultural Complex repertoire. National Cultural Complex, or KBN, was very popular in the 1970s. So that version was very popular, the Malay dance versions. Mm. They were performing different kind of dances. Mm. So those dances will be reconstructed, and some of it are like original choreographies will be presented today. It is good because, like what Bilki said earlier, to see the past. Like, a lot of people don't get to see the version, the KBN version today, because there are so many other versions of, for example, Makan Sirih, or Joget, or Changong. Like, for example, Perlis has its own styles of Changong. So people create their own styles today. So people are asking, what about the original style, like, you know, the KBN style? We want to see that. So we are quite lucky because we had a very good mentorship to be able to recreate these works to be presented at the Dance Box Festival.
Mm. And this idea of recreating a dance, what does that actually mean?
Okay, so what our students, what we did in University of Malaya is, number one, we send them to learn from the mentors. There are master teachers. But, you know, sometimes master teachers, they forget what they performed like four decades ago. And sometimes they say, okay, probably the step is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. They create something. And then it is stylized to be performed on the stage. So we had the privilege of sending our students to them, to the master teachers. They are from Mawarku. That's one way. The second way is through videos. Mawarku just gives us the videos and the
so
students
these are
watch.
Like archival videos,
right?
Of the
archival videos. Yeah. They look at the videos and they change wherever they can, but most part is maintained. And the third way is through our lecturers. We are quite lucky because we a professor, Dr. Mohammad Anis Manno, who was ex dancer of KBN. He was our mentor until he retired in 2015. So our students were privileged to have learned some of these dances from him. So till today, some of these dances are actually classroom works, like, you know, classroom materials. So they learn these dances. So these are how, you know, the different ways how we reconstruct these pieces to be put on stage.
And what about when it comes to ballet, Regina? Is it a little bit more structured? Because ballet to me seems like something that has a more structured way of teaching and delivery.
Well, the style is structured, but for this particular piece, we also referred to video archives. And we were also lucky to have one of the original dancers, who is currently a senior teacher at FAB, Michelle Low. And she and together with Joyce Chan actually kind of got together to restage this. So certain parts, because depending on the space, so we kind of already know, okay, the venue's at Pentas 2, and this was originally created to be more on a bigger production scale with props and everything. So we had to, of course, scrap the props, improvise. And then certain sections had to be changed because we the original had two male dancers, one of which was Joseph Gonzalez.
Ah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Whose work will also be featured in Program A.
Yes, correct. So, we had to change that part of the dance because, of course, some pas de deux lifts are a bit too difficult for us. But, so based on video archives and mostly, space limitations and also original participation from the dancer.
So you mentioned some of the more practical aspects of what were the things that might be changed. But what about in terms of the choreography itself, the style? How do you decide how much to retain and how much to do differently, perhaps?
For this, I think we also listen to the music because, like Vivaldi's Four Seasons, each season has a different characteristic and style. And for spring, I think we kept most of the original because it was very bouncy, springy, light. Whereas for summer and winter, a few things had to be tweaked. Also, like the type of choreography, instead of just purely classical ballet, there were some elements of contemporary dance as well. So I think in terms of style, we kept to most of the ballet elements, but tweaked certain portions to keep it a bit more current, but not straying too far away from it. It was just more to get the music style, yeah.
And what about you, Dr. Prema?
I think for Kasuma, for most part, they learn the choreography as it is. And then after that, I think the instructor decides based on the capability of the dancers, what to keep and what to change. And it also depends on the number of dancers, like how many couples. And then they decide the floor plan. It also depends on the stage and the space, the size and all that. So I think all that goes into the final, those are the determining factors, I suppose, as to how you present the final product.
We do need to take a break, but when we come back, we'll hear more about the Dance Box Festival, which is happening from April 11th to 14th. I'm speaking to the festival's producer, Bilkis Hijas, dancer Regina Toyad, and University Malaya's Dance Department Head, Dr. Premalata Thyagarajan. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking to dance producer Bilkis Hijas, dancer Regina Toyad from the Federal Academy of Ballet, and University Malaya's Dance Department Head, Dr. Premalata Thyagarajan. And we're talking about the upcoming Dance Box Festival, which is happening from April 11th to 14th. So before the break, you were telling us about how you are reviving some iconic dance performances from the past, a ballet performance of the Four Seasons in your case, Regina. And Dr. Prema, yours is a revival of the National Cultural Complex repertoire. So what are some of the challenges of reconstructing these pieces?
Can I ask actually a little bit about the costumes? Because to dancers, costumes are such a big part of the experience and part of the environment of getting into the soul of the dance work. And especially with the KBN works, I know since they were from the 1970s, and there's a very particular 1970s air about them, especially when you look at photos of KBN from that era. So how was it trying to reconstruct the costumes and sort of the visual style, the hair styles and that kind of thing?
That's actually, that's I think probably the major work and a lot of expenses went into that. So we were quite lucky because we had contact with a lot of costume designers. Sometimes we just ask them what we want based on, we just gave them the pictures. Sometimes you get costumes, like certain costumes or materials you cannot get. So we get something close to that because you can't really get the original costumes. So a lot of funding, actually, the money that we got went into costumes.
Does anyone actually have any examples of those original costumes? Do any of the original dancers still have those that they can show? Or did those get destroyed in a flood somewhere?
We do have some videos where you can still see.
Just the videos, but not the actual costume.
I mean, it's very difficult because a lot of things was gone in the flood. So
There was a flood that destroyed Aswara or what used to be ASK at one point, and that affected some of the archives.
So in terms of the dancers themselves, what is there to be learned? What is there to be gained in this process of reconnecting with an older piece of work?
Well, for me, it would be kind of learning the history of it because I had heard of KLDT before, and I probably participated in it towards the tail end before it kind of went silent. And my knowledge of it was basically, oh, they only did traditional dances and they traveled for festivals. But I did not know that they had these large-scale productions. I always thought that was part of maybe FAB itself. So this one kind of made me look back into like trying to dig out. So I actually spoke to some of the other dancers who were in it and to the admin staff, the vice principal, to dig out information. And Bilkis also dug up some info as well. And so it's pretty interesting to see that, you know, there was a lot of activity back then and how it kind of grew and all that. So it was pretty sad to see that it went a bit quiet I suppose now would be 14 years now. Mm. Yeah.
And is this sort of the grand revival?
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. So will there be a KLDT from now on?
Yeah. Well, I can't confirm this, but we have discussed that we would like to. And seeing that we do have a lot of young, eager students who are actually dancing in this piece as well. And so we're quite excited to see what happens after this. You know, who knows?
Well, let's hope so. Fingers crossed. And what about with your students, Dr. Prema?
Actually, this 1970s KBN repertoire, we presented it last year in METIC. It was organized by JKKN. So that was the first time we worked on this. It was quite challenging. It was a learning experience for me, not just for my students, because I'm not an expert in Malay dances and what more national cultural complex repertoire. But when we sat down and we decided, okay, these are the dances we are going to put in, so then we had to make decisions, what should go in and what should not, and then how we're going to choreograph it, like where we're going to learn it. So we learned so much along the way, like history. Like, we even sent out our students to go and interview the pioneers. Mm. So we wanted to add on a little bit of the research element to the production, not staging it just like, yeah, here it is, like KBN repertoire, but we also wanted to educate the audience. So we wanted to collect the oral history. So we interviewed, and the interviews were actually projected on the screen before each segment. So along the way, I think we have learned so much about the National Cultural Complex 1970s, not only me, my lecturers and the students. So I think we teach them how to appreciate the past, like our cultural heritage. So I think it was a good learning curve for everyone. In fact, a lot of people who came for the previous productions appreciated what we have done, and they said we should do more in the future. So, and Bilkis was there also, and then she invited us, why don't we perform this segment for Dance Box Festival? Yeah. And we are very thankful to my dancer.
I'm very happy that you can. Yeah, I felt like it was a really important part of our cultural heritage. I didn't know anything about the KBN repertoire before seeing these works, and I felt that these works were distinctly different from the kind of Malay dance that you see nowadays. And it was really worth seeing that kind of subtle distinction. When they performed it at MATIC, a lot of the crowd who were there actually were really able to appreciate it because they were the kind of traditional Malay dance crowd, and so they had a huge amount of knowledge. But I felt like it was a shame that the contemporary dance crowd weren't there to see it, so I felt like this would be a good opportunity to bring those same works to the contemporary crowd. Because in a way, these KBN repertoire from the 70s, at that time, it was very kind of cutting edge. Right. It was very contemporary. It was very creative. It wasn't a purely traditional source that they had been doing for hundreds of years. There was a huge amount of choreography and styling that went into it. Mm. And that was, in some ways, I think, the beginning of Malaysian contemporary dance, albeit in a very Malay traditional dance format. But I think we shouldn't forget about that. And as contemporary dancers, we should also remember that as part of our heritage.
Mm. And on that note, you are also restaging previous works that have been shown at Dance Box. What are some of those works that we'll be seeing, and what was the thought process behind which ones to restage?
Yeah, that was very exciting, actually. And this whole element of restaging, people have been very supportive of it. And I feel like it would be great to do it more and more because it's wonderful to be able to reinvigorate these works that you can't access really in any other way. Even it's not
dance,
like a book you can pick it up.
Dance in particular.
Yeah, it's like so ephemeral.
Plays get restaged.
Yes,
but
exactly.
Dance very doesn't. Rarely. Yeah.
And I feel like it's so valuable to be able to do this. So looking back over the 18 years, first of all, we had to figure out what were the works that were performed over 18 years of Dancebox because our files are not perhaps what they should be. And so kore bali over the files and you find all these amazing, wonderful things. And yeah, I wasn't there for the first editions of them, which was 2001 right. until 2003, which was in the actor studio space underneath Dattar and Modeka, which was also destroyed in a flood.
In a flood. Yeah.
Many yeah, things yeah. have been destroyed in floods. So I didn't see those. So then I had to ask people, you know, what were these performances like and what elements of these could potentially be restaged again? I have to say, unfortunately, for this Dancebox Restages edition, we didn't manage to get any of those really early works from 2001 to 2003. So the earliest work that we have, I think, is 2009, which was when I picked up producing Dancebox at what was then Actors Studio, which was on top of Lot 10 rooftop.
And then, of course, you also have a whole day of new works.
Yes, Program D, which are really exciting. Some of them are solos that have come out of a project called Dancing Alone that one of our committee members, two of our committee members, J.S. Wong and Philo Adam, have been organizing this, mentoring young choreographers to make new solo work. So getting them to show them again and again, giving them feedback, critique, and then giving them multiple opportunities to perform. So we're really excited. I saw one of the previews 2 weeks ago, and there are some great, interesting, weird voices that are coming out from the younger generation, and so that's going to be fun to have in Program D.
Who are some of the newer talents that we're going to see, and what are some of the approaches?
I'll have to say that quite a lot of them are from Aswara. I don't know whether Aswara just sort of cultivates a slightly quirky perspective on the world, maybe. Mohammed Ikram is staging a solo which is called Ana Ankat, which I think is going to be one of these slightly challenging things. I mean, people are always saying, oh, contemporary dance is so inaccessible. I have to say, just plugging the show, Program A and B and C are going to be super accessible. Like, if you thought you hated contemporary dance, I think this is where you need to give it another shot. Program D might be just a little bit challenging.
So you set them up gently with A, B, C, and then D is like, okay, here's where we challenge you.
Yes, and if you don't feel like you're ready for it, you know, that's okay. Ikram's piece, a lot of it happens in silence. It is kind of obscure. This one body doing strange movements that look like they mean something, but you can't really figure out what it is that they mean. And then over the course of it, if you give it time, it slowly becomes clear the character that Ikram is building in this solo. And it's actually quite emotionally powerful. And by the end of it, like, the entire audience was like, what just happened? What just happened? So it's a cool piece. That's a cool piece. So we also have a piece by a young man named LB Brandent. He's from East Malaysia, and he's also from Aswara. And he has made a piece about nocturnal adventures. yes, you'll have to come and see it. But it's a solo, right? So, you can imagine what kind of nocturnal adventures one might have by oneself.
I shan't ask any more questions.
Sleeping.
Sleeping, for example, dreaming, etc. It's a really fun piece, though. It's high energy. He's a really exciting performer. He basically is bouncing off the walls. And it's a really cute, fun piece to watch.
So you talked about things being accessible. And is that kind of the point of, did I get this right, is it Program C, where you have sort of this larger community of dance from Malaysia?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, we're really excited about that because it's so nice to get
wider audience on stage. We don't often have that in Dance Box because Dance Box tends to be quite sort of contemporary and within a very specific community. So we've got a lot of traditional dance. We have Temple of Fine Arts. And instead of getting Temple of Fine Arts, like the very top, top dancers to do their extremely well-trained, you know, Bharatanatyam, we are getting some Odyssey, but they're also going to do some Bollywood for us, which I think is going to be great. We are getting a lot of Chinese classical dance. If people know Han Fong Dance Troupe, they're exceedingly refined Chinese classical dance. They're always so beautiful to watch. We also have a solo from a woman named Lao Mi Li, and she is a wheelchair user, and she dances for Beautiful Gate, which is an organization which has a small dance troupe of wheelchair users, and she's doing a beautiful little solo. And yeah, a couple of other... we have a senior dance group. So we're going to invite the aunties on stage because I think nobody can rock it like the aunties can. Because the aunties may have been rocking it in the 70s.
Yes.
And so, as we know about the 70s, it was very rocking.
So how do you guys feel, Regina and Dr. Prema, about sort of being in this festival that seems to just run the gamut from, you know, Bollywood and you know, aunties dancing all the way to contemporary dance?
Well, very excited because, I mean, Dance Box is always very exciting. And I think since the first time I've joined up until now, I mean, it's always changing. There's always something new to see. And then you hear about, oh, this there's this piece and da-da-da. So, yeah, I'm very excited to take part. But this time doing ballet. So something different.
It's the first time that you're doing ballet and at Dance Box, right?
Yes.
Is this the first time there's been ballet at Dance Box?
I don't know, and I'm sort of appalled that I don't know this. It might be the first point shoes at Dance Box.
Maybe. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Dr. Prema?
I was actually part of my dance in 2001, 2000 to 2003, 2004, and there were dance festivals that time. And it's always, every dance festival is full of excitement. So varieties. So I'm expecting that this Dance Box is going to be the same thing. It's good, I think. I mean, we need these kinds of festivals. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show and telling us all about the all the dancing that we can expect.
Thanks, Sharmila.
Thank you, Sharmila.
I've been speaking to dance producer Bilkis Hijaz of My Dance Alliance, dancer Regina Toyad from the Federal Academy of Ballet, and University Malaya's dance department head, Dr. Premalata Thyagarajan, about the upcoming Dance Box Festival. The event is on from April 11th to 14th at the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre, and tickets start at 20 ringgit, with packages for the whole festival starting at 80 ringgit. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on our website, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.